He loves this kind of stuff. He really gets into it. He understands it. I do not. Mm-hmm. And
so you're coming to me, is what you're saying.
Exactly. I'm coming to you.
Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. As welcome back to the podcast, my name is Chris Roby, and across from me is Carly Duke.
Hey, Chris.
Well, Carly, this week we're going to talk about a couple of very timely topics, mm-hmm. I believe, or timely subjects. And we want to start off kind of in a time where things are a little bit uncertain, talking about hope.
Yeah, I think hope is huge. And I've got some exciting news, Chris, that I would like to share that happened this weekend. And it really revolved around this idea of hope because Josh's team was in the state tournament for basketball.
Yeah.
And I cannot even describe the amount of hope, but also fear when you're watching something of like, I hope we make it. I hope we go far. But what if we don't? And watching, first of all, spoiler alert, we won state, which is huge. So if you go back and listen to the athletics episode with Josh, he is now a state champion basketball coach.
Congrats, Josh. That's incredible.
So that's one to go back and listen to. But also watching the other team in the state championship game, we ended up winning by quite a bit. And watching the other team lose that hope and what that can do to someone. When you have hope, you play different from a sport perspective. And when you don't, you could just watch them kind of like that hope leave their eyes. It's hard to watch. The fans aren't as engaged because you think, well, this isn't going anywhere. And hope can make a big difference. So I want to talk about that, especially like you said, in the context of right now where there's a lot going on. There's a lot of anxiety and hope is so, so important.
Yeah. And I think over the last 2 years with the pandemic that, you know, having just a very long burn kind of crisis where I know there was times in my life where I'm like, do I even have hope that this is going to get any better? You know, I think we all kind of had those reckoning kind of conversations with ourselves when it just seems like this will never end. This will never end. And, you know, those who have been around a long time would say it will and this too shall pass. But you kind of have to have those years under your belt. And I think as an adolescent, having hope in a time of high crisis is really difficult because it's you don't have enough years under your belt to be able to really know, you know, these things pass. And while it's difficult, there is reason to have hope.
Right. So I will, as always, post the links in the show notes. But one thing I read said, hope implies that there's a possibility of a better future. And that's according to C.R. Snyder. He's a famed hope researcher. And this article also said, hope is not a passive exercise in wishing, but it's an active approach to life. So when you want something and you have a clear goal in mind, that's where hope comes in. Because I think sometimes people think, oh, you're hopeful. That's kind of naive. That's just something you wish. But no, hope is an actual action that you're choosing to be hopeful. And what's so interesting is as I was looking into this, hope is a really big predictor for mental health, which I think is fascinating. So some things that goes into, it makes life more enjoyable is what experts say. It provides resilience against things like post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation. It has chemical benefits in your brain, and it comes in the form of endorphins, lowered stress levels. But then it also motivates positive action, and it can make people more productive.
Gotcha. Those are huge side effects, if you would want to call them side effects. Just to kind of talk through this a little bit, how do you separate out hope and wishful thinking? You know, because I'm around people sometimes who, and I'm even guilty of this sometimes, if I'm maybe in a bad place and I'm trying to kind of kick my way out of it, I'll kind of start with wishful thinking, you know, you know, like saying things that probably aren't grounded in reality. Right. You know, that's not a place you ever want to stay. But I know for me, sometimes that's where I'll start and then have to adjust from there.
Well, I think sometimes that comes in wishful thinking, optimism almost is like expecting good things. And I almost think that hope is, but what am I going to do about it? And hope makes it tangible. Hope makes it actionable. Okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to hope for something. Because we can have wishful thinking, but if there's not reality in that, that goes away pretty quickly.
Right, right.
And so I think that's where hope comes in. And you've said it, in the pandemic, it was really hard to hang on to hope because there wasn't really much we could do. We were just hopeful and wishful that something was going to get better, but we couldn't necessarily change what was happening around us, shutdowns, mandates. And that's where I think it got really difficult, especially for our teenagers, because they're like, well, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
Even if I wish things were better, I can't do much right now. And so sometimes I think we think hope is, it just happens. But I would love to talk about for our audience and for me and you, what can we do to encourage hope for ourselves, but also for our teenagers? Because I think that's the key of when things are going wrong, we've got to step up on hope.
Well, it brings to mind, Carly, one of the activities we do in our teen life groups, we call it ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the last time we talked about this on the podcast. It's been a while, but it's just really cool. It's basically like a timeline that you create for yourself. And you think through, or our students think through events that have happened in their life that had changed them forever. And so a screenwriter would call that a story turn. So these are things that, like, they don't all have to be bad or good, but they're just things that change you. You know, the example I always use is Batman. You know, Bruce Wayne became Batman when his parents died in front of him. Nothing was ever the same after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have students kind of walk through some of these events in their life to kind of think through. And we don't really do that to dwell on the past, to try to fix anything. But what we notice is when things get bad, when you look just past that, things bounce back.
Right.
And so we talk about what contributed to that and what contributed to you overcoming that difficulty and having hope that things would get better. Because if you can identify those things in the past, like, okay, I've been through something like this before and I didn't die.
Totally.
And I actually came out a better person and more informed person. That's what brings hope a lot of times, is like, you know, I've been through that stuff before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is not my first rodeo. And I think even for an adolescent, I know a lot of students we work with have been through a lot of stuff at young ages. And so they have some wisdom to draw on, but just because it doesn't seem exactly like that last situation, they fail to learn those lessons. So I think reflecting back on what you've actually been through when you're going through it now gives you hope that you can get through it.
Right. And I think a piece of that, too, is looking at the big picture
mm-hmm.
and thinking, what is mine to do?
Mm-hmm.
What can I actually control in this situation? Because sometimes I think we get so overwhelmed and our teenagers get so overwhelmed with everything. And we do an activity like this in our groups, too, where we have them look at everything they do in a week. Mm-hmm. And we ask them, what can you actually control?
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is it's very little.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's very little. They can control their reaction to things. They can mm-hmm. control how much sleep they get. They can control doing their homework, but they can't control other people. They can't even necessarily control the responsibilities that are placed on them. And so if you can look at what can I actually control and look at that first,
mm-hmm.
that can give you a place of setting goals. And I feel like when we have goals, we also have hope, because you're not setting goals if you don't think you're going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so putting those goals in front of people is really good. Another thing I saw that was so interesting is research shows that when we're moved by something that we can hardly find the words to talk about it, that's when we're experiencing awe. That creates meaning, creates positive feelings, and that can contribute to a sense of hopefulness that'll keep us moving forward.
So give me some examples of something like that.
I think going back to what happened this weekend, when we won, I was speechless.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're watching this team that I've loved and have been in my home, and that we've watched go through ups and downs all season, have just this pure joy because mm-hmm. they won and they accomplished something, was a sense of awe. I rode that high. I'm still riding that uh-huh. high for days. I think sunsets, when you're in nature and you like kind of get the sense of like, I can't even explain what I'm looking at, mm-hmm. but it's bigger than me. And I think that gives us a sense of, okay, it can get better.
Right. And I think about going to a U2 concert. You know, and we're all singing the same song, you know,
yeah.
I mean, just being a part of something that, you know, you literally have no control over, like you said, bigger than you
mm-hmm.
and it connects with something deeper. And it lets you know that something bigger is going on here. You know, we don't get, you know, Carly and I talk a lot about being people of faith on this podcast. We don't really hammer that home super often, but, you know, that's important to us, you know, yeah. just about hope for the future. And we have, you know, spiritual walks that kind of take us in that direction and give us that hope and peace. And I don't think that's ill-informed by any means. You know, I think that there's a lot all around us that shows how powerful what we're living in actually is and how much we don't know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I follow a lot of space and science accounts on Twitter. And,
I know.
I know.
You are showing some of your Star Trek love, aren't you?
Yes, it is. It is. But just to when these mathematicians kind of talk about scales of things and not only the bigness of what we live in, but even the smallness, mm-hmm. like not only how small we are, but how small things get, you know, and how there's just so much we don't know. But we still get to experience life and be a part of things. And so that sense of awe of like, oh, this is bigger than me, takes you beyond yourself and gives you hope. And so I think that's a huge part of things. And I think also we'll talk about this more in a future episode, just gratitude, mm-hmm. Being grateful for the things that we have. Matter of fact, I was telling Carly before the podcast, like everyone, my family had a higher tax bill this year than we thought. And it was like, oh, you know, yeah, how are we going to do this kind of thing? And so, you know, while we were driving to school with my kids this morning, I was like, you know what? We can wallow in that or we can be grateful for what we have. Mm-hmm. And so my kids today, their assignment is to think of three things they're grateful for and come back and tell me what they saw. You know, gratitude is very powerful. We'll talk more about what that means in a future episode.
Yeah. And like you said, focusing on what we have, focus on what we've accomplished or want to accomplish. I think hope is giving something that we believe something is going to get better in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can focus on there are good things now, and I believe with goals, it can get better. I really think we can help refocus our teenagers and bring more hope in their life. We have an exciting event coming up for Teen Life, which is our first annual Topgolf tournament on April 3rd. So you can still sign up or become a sponsor at www.teenlife.ngo/Topgolf. And speaking of sponsors, I want to take a second to thank our Eagle sponsor and longtime supporter, Trinity Portfolio Advisors. We want to give a special shout out to our good friend, Jeff McCain, who is a previous board member, and he is doing incredible work with Trinity. We are so thankful for the way they're investing in teens and their community. And this is an event that you are not going to want to miss if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So once again, you can find out more about Trinity and our other sponsors and how you can get tickets either as an individual or a team at teenlife.ngo/Topgolf. For the trend this week, Chris, I want to hit something that I'm a little nervous about because mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I am not a very news/political person. My husband is. He's a former history teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He loves this kind of stuff. He really gets into it. He understands it. I do not.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you're coming to me is what you're saying.
Exactly. I'm coming to you. But I also think it would be easy to ignore what's happening in our world right now,
mm-hmm.
especially for teenagers. But because of social media and because of everything we're seeing in the news, we can't ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Our teenagers know what's happening in Ukraine. They know what's happening with gas prices. They know what's happening with Iran, everything. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to here to talk about specifics of what is happening, but I do want to talk about how can we talk about this with our teenagers and what does it mean?
Yeah. So this war in Ukraine is complicated to say the least. Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy for, especially for our American listeners, which I think is most of our listeners, to take a certain side and make certain assumptions. And, you know, those who kind of study in on this, like, no, this is more complicated than we could ever imagine.
Mm.
But also what complicates it further is social media's role in this. And what I would add on top of that, too, is we don't think about this much because we hear about all the violence going on in our world through the media. But just on a grand scale, we are living through, hopefully we will continue to live through, what scholars call the long piece, essentially a time kind of unprecedented in the modern era where the world powers are not actively at war.
Mm.
You know, we have Vietnam, we have Korea, we have the, you know, Desert Storm, you know, these, but on a scale does not compare to what happened in the early 19th century, 20th
right.
century. Those things all kind of come in together at this time with social media causes high anxiety. Me and you were talking a couple weeks ago about how, and I could be wrong about this, but I think this is like the first like war we have really experienced through social media, like that, that is with a major superpower like Russia. And that's something I didn't expect with this whole thing, to see all the things on TikTok and mm-hmm. all the things on Twitter and how this is playing out. Everyone's opinions get to get thrown into this as well.
Yeah, I think we talked about this outside of the podcast, but if you think about especially World War One and World War Two, obviously I was not alive mm-hmm. back then, neither were you. But if you think about what America knew about that war was framed by what the news said
mm-hmm.
and what was on radio. And now you can get information from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We can get information from the news. We can get information from the Ukrainian president. We can get information from Russian citizens. We can get information from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so no one can frame the message for you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Putin's also seeing some of that as well, just in how his countrymen, he doesn't get to run that narrative either.
Right.
And so it's very fascinating. And it also impacts our teenagers because you can't hide them from that. If mm-hmm. they have a cell phone, if they're on social media, they're able to get access to everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think where the danger is too is that there are fake news out there.
Oh, yeah.
And there are fake tweets. I saw a post the other day. I'll mention her a little bit later as a resource too. But she was saying anyone can fake a tweet. And she faked a tweet, I think, from President Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, this is easy. I'm not even an expert. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a hacker to add someone's name and make it look like Twitter and post it out there that someone said something. Josh was saying the other day, he's looking at TikToks and you can't verify, is that happening right now? Is that from another war? Is that stock footage?
Mm-hmm.
Where is this person actually? You can't tell some of these things, but our teenagers are seeing it. We're seeing it and sharing it, not knowing the source or if that's actually accurate or not.
Yeah. And any of your kind of video based social media service, like, you know, your Reels or your TikTok, you know, that what's really out there right now is like people will take video game footage and sell it as something that they saw that's from Ukraine.
Mm.
And it takes you a second to realize, because usually it's kind of low lighting and you realize, man, that camera's real steady. how are they pulling this off? And
yeah.
You realize, oh, this is from Call of Duty.
Wow.
You know, and so it's a real problem. And I think also a real opportunity to have a conversation with your teenager about how do you process information? What do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
What is this messenger have to gain from you believing this? Whether it's how is this being propagandized towards me? So just so we can at least filter through war footage, that, you know, this big heavy topic, through relationship.
Mm-hmm. And so I think getting into that, how can we talk about this with teens? One of the things, and I'm pretty sure my dad mentioned this on our sex talk episode,
mm-hmm.
but answer the questions they ask.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're talking about it with your teenagers, but you don't necessarily need to give them all the information at once, especially if you have younger teenagers. You don't need to come in, here's all the footage, here's everything that happened, here's why it's happening. Answer what they're curious about,
mm-hmm.
and maybe start there. And so if you have a senior in high school, maybe you can have deeper conversations about what is actually happening. They might be more interested. If your student isn't interested at all, I'm not saying that you don't talk about it at all,
mm-hmm.
but kind of gauge that to what they are curious about as well.
Yes. And like all other things, if you don't have the answers, you don't have the answers.
Yeah.
And your opinions on what's happening are probably less relevant than the conversation you're having with your student.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you might have opinions on what we should be doing as the West, or our involvement, or, you know, should we not even be a part of this, or whatever that looks like. But that's another big part of them picking up on how you're reacting to it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also important to focus on something we can do together to help.
Mm-hmm.
That might be something small, like donate. That might be putting together a care package. You can write letters to people who are helping, organizations that are helping around here. I've seen people who are getting on Airbnb and purchasing stays in the Ukraine because they know that's going to Ukrainian people.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of ways. There are lots of great organizations, even around us
mm-hmm.
in the Metroplex or wherever you live, who are doing things to help. And so research. Have your teenager help you research. And what is something that we can be doing to help? Kind of going back to that hope of sometimes it helps if we can actually do something to aid and be part of this.
And you also found a really good resource on this topic, right? Talk about that.
Yes. Yeah, so this is someone I followed for a while, And it's because, like I said, I'm not good at all the political stuff. I don't really enjoy that. But on Instagram, but she has a website too. And so I'll share all her links. I'm sure she's on Twitter, but I'm mostly on Instagram. But it's at Sharon Says So. She is a former high school government teacher. She's also a law teacher. And so she kind of comes at it from, she wants to erase political misinformation. Mm. She doesn't take sides. She is very methodical, but also she brings it down to a level where I'm like, oh, I understand what she's saying, because she talks about it not as a high political person, but as a teacher, and she wants to teach. So she's been a great, great resource for me through all this. You can go look at her highlight reels, but she shared some facts on maybe why is this happening right now? Why is Russia going after the Ukraine? What does NATO mean? What is it meaning for gas prices? She looks at all these things. She's very nonpartisan. And a lot of times she talks about the U.S. government, democracy, like she covered the State of the Union a couple weeks ago from a very, like, here's what happened. Is this normal? Does this usually happen like this? What do you think he meant by this? And not taking her opinion into it. Very interesting stuff. And so if you're looking for a resource for yourself, but she's also a good resource for your teenagers, maybe if you want to give them some information as well. Finally, for the tip this week, Chris, I want to talk about, I saw this on Instagram from Cherish's Instagram, and it talks about, do you have a teen who's triggered for no apparent reason? And then this, they kind of gave, it's called the SCARF framework. And this framework is to help you look out for their triggers.
Okay.
And we've talked about triggers in a previous episode, but I thought this was interesting because sometimes you're right. Sometimes you're like, why are they triggered? I have no idea. Sometimes you know exactly what could trigger them. Mm-hmm. But this was a good resource if you're like, I have no idea what's happening, and to kind of help you backtrack a little bit. So basically, they say we naturally become threatened and move away from things that reduce SCARF. So status is the first one, which would be your social position, which totally makes sense to me. If your teenager feels like their social position is in jeopardy, they're going to react. Another one is certainty. So the ability to predict outcomes. Do they feel safe? Do they feel secure? Certainty. Autonomy. We've talked about this one a lot. Freedom, that sense of control, independence. If that is threatened, they might be triggered. Relatedness, how they fit in with the group, and then fairness. Is it just, do they feel like they are being imposed on in something that's not fair?
I'm triggered by some of these. As I already but this is a really well done acronym. Just, you know, because I know even with my 11 and a half year old, he's preteen, and I will say something that even drop off at school now, right? He wants me to drop him off at the curb, you know, and because, and I would never do anything to embarrass him. I know. I mean, I would never do that, but just that threat of some kind of a status, you know, having me dropped off in front of his friends or in front of the school. That's a threat. And he gets triggered by that. And, you know, every one of these can be triggering for not only teens, but adults for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So it's something to ask if you see a burst of anger from your teenager, if there's something that emotion is unexpected. Maybe think back to this SCARF. Is there something I did that threatened one of these? And how can I address that? And that doesn't mean that you have to go, never mind, I didn't mean that. But come back and say, hey, I just want to reiterate, I believe you can do this, or you're safe in this, or I love you no matter what. Make sure that they feel all of these things so that you can move towards healthy conversation.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.